Hi, welcome to Viz School. We are on the final chapter of this book, and that is corporate governance in insurance organizations. When we talk in terms of insurance organizations, corporate governance is very important. And now it has become more important because of the regulatory provisions and the compliances that are required from insurance organizations. Before we go into the corporate governance provisions and principles, up till now, what have we done? In the previous chapter, we talked about evolution of insurance organizations, role of the functionaries of insurance organizations, the various designations involved, the core functions and the support functions of the insurance organizations, the insurance organization intermediaries, outsourcing of non-core insurance functions, product development by insurance organizations, operational excellence to maximize performance of insurance organizations, and in the previous chapter, we understood insurance accounting. This chapter will help you understand not only the principles of corporate governance in insurance organizations, but also the regulatory provisions on corporate governance. When I talk about regulatory provisions, these are coming from the Companies Act 2013 and the IRDAI regulations. Friends, corporate governance is becoming more important in insurance organization, especially in the last two decades. What has happened in the last two decades? Opening up of insurance sector. With the opening up of insurance sector, lots of foreign direct investments are coming into. The structure of insurance organization is rapidly changing. Insurers are focusing on promoting the corporate fairness, transparency, and accountability to reinforce overall effectiveness of insurance organizations with built-in checks and balances so that no one takes the insurance organization for a ride. Right from the top management till the line managers and officers, everyone comes under the ambit of corporate governance. Insurers are required to have good governance practices, especially for maintenance of solvency, sound long-term investment policy, and assumption of underwriting risk on a prudential basis. The four key functions of corporate governance include the risk management, actuarial compliance, and the internal audit. The risk management, actuarial compliance, and internal audit form the four key pillars of corporate governance. We are going to see the provisions related to these four pillars of corporate governance in the Companies Act 2013 as well as the IRDAI regulations on corporate governance. What does the IRDA guidelines and corporate governance have to say? IRDAI has issued corporate governance guidelines for insurance organizations in 2016. The main objective of IRDAI guidelines on corporate governance is to ensure that the structure, responsibilities, functions of the board of directors and the management of insurance organizations are aligned with the expectations of all stakeholders and regulators. Note down these two important entities. Everything that insurance organization does has to be aligned with the expectations of the stakeholders as well as the regulators. IRDAI has advised all insurers to ensure compliance with its corporate governance guidelines. So the regulator has made it very clear that insurance organizations cannot escape from compliance of corporate governance guidelines and regulations. Now, when we talk about corporate governance, it has to have high standards because the corporate governance guidelines have developed to a larger extent globally, and the best practices has been adopted by all the leading and successful organizations, and insurance organization is no exception. Good corporate governance involves the engagement of an independent oversight boards and senior managers to identify all risks, manage them, and direct the insurance organization towards a progressive path. So that this independent oversight helps the board to function with a complete overview, with a complete check from an independent person, so that if there are any mistakes that are happening, knowingly or unknowingly, that can be corrected timely, and a big chaos or problem could be avoided in an insurance organization. The corporate governance mechanisms intends to induce the managers to act according to the best interests of the shareholders. So no one can have vested interest in any transaction of insurance organization. If at all anyone is connected with any transaction, they need to disclose so that there would be an oversight on them and they won't take advantage of their positions for getting benefit out of a transaction. Good governance involves a commitment to run a business in a legal, ethical, and transparent manner. So these three modes of actually running a business in a legal manner, in an ethical manner, and in a transparent manner are the essence of a good governance, and there has to be a commitment from an insurance organization to run its business in a legal, ethical, and transparent manner. Now, when we talk in terms of corporate governance of high standard, is it essential in the insurance sector? Of course, yes, because an insurance organization has to take care of the interests of the public. The policyholders have invested the premiums, and in turn, the insurance organization needs to settle the claims on short-term, medium-term, or long-term basis. And if the corporate governance principles are not complied with, then the policyholders' interest can come under danger. So corporate governance of high standard is essential in insurance sector, as the public invests its long-term savings, including the retirement income funds. And this becomes a point to be noted that insurance organizations, any wrongdoings can impact the entire savings that has been earned for life by the policyholders, and this has to be avoided at any cost. In a competitive business world, the corporate governance of insurers is becoming imperative, as they cannot afford to continue their actions with a traditional approach of underwriting, accounting, auditing, etc. Because with the pumping in of foreign direct investments, with bringing in of sophisticated technology, with creation of dynamic products and services, there has to be corporate governance, and no competitive or successful insurance organization can afford to avoid corporate governance practices. Now, what are the principles of corporate governance? The principles of corporate governance provides support to insurance organization for driving growth and inclusiveness, and it includes a good governance structure, effective leadership of the board of directors, skills, capabilities, and expertise of key managerial persons, ethical and responsible decision making, conduct of insurance business in a fair and transparent manner. So if you note at this slide, the principle covers a wide range of things for an insurance organization. Right from the structure, to the leadership, to the skills and capabilities, to the decision making, to the conduct of the business. All these should have proper corporate governance principles. In addition to the previous slide, the principles of corporate governance recognize the risk applicable to insurance business and managing risk as well. It requires timely disclosures by the insurance organization. It also has a focus on integrity in financial reporting and compliance with regulations and standards. In our previous chapter, we saw about insurance accounting, how the financial statements are to be prepared. But when we talk in terms of corporate governance, it talks about integrity in financial reporting. So there has to be some sort of reliability on the information based on the audit and based on the capture of it. The principles of corporate governance clearly define the roles and responsibilities. The principles of corporate governance also protects the interests of policyholders and emphasizes on the risk management. As I said before, when we talk in terms of regulations, the corporate governance are governed by two main regulations. So one comes from the Provisions of Companies Act 2013, and secondly, the IRDAI regulations. Let us look at it one by one. First, the Companies Act 2013 has various provisions leading to a strong corporate governance. The Securities and Exchange Board of India, which is also a regulator, has mandated clause 49 of the listing agreement specifically for strengthening the corporate governance. The revised clause 49 and the provisions of Companies Act 2013 aim to make the corporate governance framework more effective by adopting the best practices in the corporate governance. Now let us look at some provisions of Companies Act relating with corporate governance. First one on the Board of Directors composition. The board has been given the responsibility of giving overall directions for the business of an insurer, addressing the conflicts of interest, ensuring overall compliance, fair treatment of policyholders and employees, and developing a corporate culture. So this is a broad responsibility for the board. Disclosure of interests by directors are also to be obtained under Section 184, 174, Subclause 4, Subsection 4, and 188, Section 188 of Companies Act 2013, in case of directors enter into a contract or arrangement with related parties. So in addition to the broad nature of responsibilities and overall directions, there are specific directions for corporate governance by certain key managerial persons of the insurance organization. When we talk about Section 149 of Companies Act 2013, every company shall have at least one director who has stayed in India for a total period of not less than 182 days in the previous calendar year. This speaks about the importance of a resident director. Section 173 of Companies Act 2013 talks about directors, and it says directors are permitted to participate in a meeting of board either in person or through video conferencing or through other audio visual means as may be prescribed. This is especially when the directors are residing at different places and maybe for some reasons they are not able to attend. In that scenario, this specific provision helps the directors to participate through video conferencing or other audio visual means. Now, when we talk about an independent oversight, Section 149 and 150 of Companies Act 2013 becomes very important and relevant because of the provisions for independent directors. every listed public company shall have at least 1/3 of the total number of directors as independent directors. And the performance evaluation of independent directors will be done by the entire board of directors. An independent director is a person of integrity and possesses relevant expertise and experience in the opinion of the board. What is the role of independent directors? Independent directors are required to undertake appropriate induction and update and refresh their skills, knowledge and familiarity with the company. So later they cannot say, I don't have any skills, I don't have any knowledge. It becomes their responsibility to undertake appropriate induction and update and refresh their skills and knowledge and become familiar with the company. Independent directors shall strive to attend all the meetings of the board of directors and of the board committees of which they are members and participate constructively and actively in the committees of the board in which they are the chairperson or the members. Independent directors shall abide by the provisions for the Code of Independent Directors specified in Schedule 4 of Companies Act 2013. So there is a specific schedule for the Code of Independent Directors. So an absolute clarity on the role of independent directors is made in the Companies Act 2013 itself. Now let's see about the committees of the board and which type of committees are required as per Companies Act 2013. Companies Act 2013 prescribes four types of committees to set out an advanced framework for the board functioning by division of core board functions and their delegation to committees of the board. And these four committees are the Audit Committee under Section 177 of Companies Act 2013, the Nomination and Remuneration Committee under Section 178 Companies Act 2013, the Stakeholders Relationship Committee under Section 178 of Companies Act 2013, and the Corporate Social Responsibility CSR Committee under Section 135 of Companies Act 2013. So these four committees are very important, especially from the corporate governance point of view. Now, what do we mean by risk management? The board of directors is required to develop and implement a risk management policy and shall constitute a risk management committee. So, board of directors not only are responsible for developing and implementing, but they should form a risk management committee. The independent directors shall satisfy themselves that the systems of risk management are robust and defensible. The audit committee shall, in accordance with the terms of reference specified in writing by the board to the evaluation of internal functions, controls, and risk management systems. So, not only a composition of risk management committee is important, but the audit committee is also required to ensure that whatever has been designed for the risk management is being followed or not. Yet another important aspect of corporate governance is the internal audit specified under Section 138 of Companies Act 2013. What does it say? Such class or classes of companies as may be prescribed shall be required to appoint an internal auditor who shall either be a chartered accountant or a cost accountant or such other professional as may be decided by the board to conduct internal audit of the functions and activities of company. So whatever the classes mentioned under Companies Act 2013, they have to have a internal auditor, and such internal auditor should have a prescribed qualification. The central government may by rules prescribe the manner and the intervals in which the internal audit shall be conducted and reported to the board. So, we are finding various entities created within the Companies Act 2013, specifically from the corporate governance point of view. Now, what about the compliance? The director's responsibility statement referred to in Section 134 of Companies Act 2013 has made the requirement of compliance very explicit. What does it say? As a part of director's responsibility statement, directors have to state that they have devised a proper system to ensure compliance with the applicable laws and that such systems are operating effectively. So, director have to specifically mention that they have a system to ensure compliance with the applicable laws, and this becomes a very important aspect of the corporate governance. Director has to take up responsibility of ensuring a proper system as per the laws has been established. Further, Section 205 Companies Act 2013 requires the company secretary to provide a report to the board about compliance with the provisions of the Act, the rules made thereunder, and other laws applicable to the company. So the overall responsibility is with the board. However, specific responsibility is the company secretary, who provides the report to the board basis on checking and complying with all requirements as per the laws. Now, having seen about various requirements of the Companies Act 2013, now let us look into the IRDAI's Corporate Governance Guidelines for Insurers in India, issued in 2016. The Insurance Regulatory and Development Authority of India has issued comprehensive guidelines on corporate governance for insurers, while the Corporate Governance Guidelines for Insurance in India 2016. So, what are the important provisions of this guidelines? Number one, significant owners, controlling shareholders, and role of the board. IRDAI prescribes a minimum lock-in period of 5 years from the date of a certificate of commencement of business of an insurer for the promoters of an insurance company. So, specifically for the promoters, a minimum lock-in period of 5 years. No transfer of shares of the promoters is permitted within this period without the specific approval of IRDAI. So, the first onus is on the promoters to ensure that they maintain a minimum lock-in period of 5 years. The second important provision is on conflict of interest, specifically the role of the board. Adequate systems, policies, and procedures to address the potential conflicts of interest and compliance with the provisions of Companies Act 2013 needs to be established by the insurer to ensure that there is no conflict of interest as far as the role of the board is concerned. The next important provision is on the governance structure. Insurance companies should ensure that the board comprises of competent and qualified directors to drive the strategies in a manner that would sustain the growth and protect the interests of the stakeholders in general and policyholders in particular. So, board comprises of competent and qualified directors. You cannot appoint anyone as a director. A director has to be competent and should be qualified to drive the strategies to maintain the growth and protect the interests of the stakeholders. The size of the board, in addition to being compliant with the legal requirements, should also be consistent with scale, nature, and complexity of the business. So, you may have some directors when the company is incorporated, but when the company scales up, grows up, based on the growth, the requirements of the director will also be changing, and that aspect also should be taken care in terms of the governance structure. The next important provision is on the fit and proper criteria. The directors of the insurers have to meet the fit and proper criteria. The criteria to be satisfied, the minimum, would relate to the integrity demonstrated in personal behavior, business conduct, soundness of judgment, and financial soundness. So, the fit and criteria explicitly talks about the background of the director, specifically on the integrity in terms of personal behavior, business conduct, soundness of judgment, as well as the financial soundness. So, that brings up a very strong character of a director as far as an insurance organization is concerned. Next important aspect is the disclosures about the meeting of the board and its committees. Insurers shall ensure compliance with the provisions of Companies Act 2013 and the secretarial standards issued by the ICSI from time to time, that is Institute of Company Secretaries of India, as regards the conduct of the meeting of the board of directors and their committees. The next important provision is on the control functions. The board should lay down the policy framework to put in place, especially on robust and efficient mechanisms for identification, assessment, quantification, control, mitigation, and monitoring of risk. They should have appropriate processes for ensuring the compliance with the board approved policy and applicable laws and regulations. Further, the board should have appropriate internal controls to ensure that the risk management and compliance policies are observed. The board should have a policy framework with regards to internal audit functions capable of reviewing and assessing the adequacy and effectiveness and the insurer's adherence to the internal controls, as well as reporting on its strategies, policies, and the procedures. And the board should have policy framework with respect to independence of the control functions, including the risk management functions, from business operations demonstrated by a creditable reporting arrangement. Now let us look at the delegation. Delegation of functions specific to the committee of the board. The board can consider setting up various committees of directors by delegating the overall monitoring responsibilities after laying down roles and responsibilities of these committees to the board. The committees that assist the board are the Audit Committee, the Risk Management Committee, the Nomination Remuneration Committee, Investment Committee, Ethics Committee, and Asset Liability Management Committee. We have seen similar committees under the Companies Act 2013. Now let us look at this provisions. When we talk about Audit Committee, it is mandatory. Here, certain committees are mandatory, certain committees are not mandatory. Audit Committee is mandatory. Every insurer shall constitute an audit committee as per Section 177 of Companies Act 2013. The audit committee shall oversee the financial statements, financial reporting, statement of cash flow and disclosure processes, both on an annual and quarterly basis. So this role is clear cut as far as the audit committee is concerned. The audit committee shall set up procedures and processes to address all the concerns relating to the adequacy of checks and the control mechanisms. Just like the audit committee, investment committee is also mandatory. The board of every insurer shall set up an investment committee comprising of at least two non-executive directors, the chief executive, the chief of finance, the chief of investment, the chief risk officer, and the appointed actuary. The committee shall be responsible to recommend the investment policy and lay down the operational framework for the investment operations of the insurer. After the audit committee, after the investment committee, the risk management committee is also mandatory. Insurer shall set up a separate risk management committee to implement the company's risk management strategy. The risk management function should be under the overall guidance and supervision of the chief risk officer with a clearly defined role. Just like the audit committee, the investment committee, the risk management committee, the policy holder protection committee is also mandatory, with a view to addressing the various compliances, issues relating to the protection of the interest of policyholders, as also relating to keeping the policyholder well informed of and educated about insurance products and complaint handling procedures. Each insurer shall set up a policyholder protection committee. The policyholder protection committee shall be headed by a non-executive director and shall include an expert representative of customers as an invitee to enable insurers to formulate the policies and assess the compliance thereof. So there has to be some input from certain representatives so that the Policyholder Protection Committee is more effective. The next important committee is the Nomination and Remuneration Committee, which is also mandatory. The Nomination and Remuneration Committee shall be constituted in line with provisions of Section 178 of the Companies Act 2013. The Nomination and Remuneration Committee shall scrutinize the declaration of intending applicants before the appointments, reappointments, election of directors by the shareholders at the general meetings. So here there will be a sort of oversight when the Nomination and Remuneration Committee scrutinizes the declaration. The Nomination and Remuneration Committee shall also scrutinize the applications and details submitted by the aspirants for appointment as the key management persons process. Next important committee is the Corporate Social Responsibility Committee, which is also mandatory. For Indian insurance company, a Corporate Social Responsibility Committee is required to be set up if the insurance company earns a net profit of rupees 5 crores or more during the preceding financial year. Now, so far we were talking about all the mandatory committees. Now, we are talking about the Ethics Committee, which is not mandatory. The functions and responsibilities of the Ethics Committee shall include monitoring the compliance functions and the insurance company's risk profile in respect of compliance with external laws and regulations and internal policies, including its code of conduct. The Ethics Committee's functions and responsibility should also include receiving report and proactive compliance activities aimed at increasing the insurance company's ability to meet its legal and ethical obligations on identified weakness, lapses, breaches, or violations and controls and other measures in place to help detect and address the same. The Ethics Committee shall also supervise and monitor matters reported using the insurer's whistleblowing or other confidential mechanisms for employees and others to report ethical and compliance concerns or potential breaches or violation. So supervising and monitoring matters reported using the insurer's whistleblowing policy, whistleblowing or other confidential mechanisms for employees and others to report ethical and compliance concerns or potential breaches or violations also forms an important function of the Ethics Committee. Ethics Committee also have an important role in advising the board on the effect of all such things on the insurer's conduct of business and helping the board set a correct tone at the top by communicating or supporting the communication at all the levels of the insurer of the importance of ethics and compliance. It also, the Ethics Committee's role, functions and responsibilities also include approving the compliance programs, reviewing their effectiveness on a regular basis and signing off on any material compliance issues or the matters. Next important committee is the Asset Liability Management Committee. Asset liability management is an ongoing process of formulating, implementing, monitoring, and revising strategies related to the assets and liabilities to achieve an organization's financial objectives, given the organization's risk, appetite, risk tolerance, and the business profile. Now, yet another important aspect of the corporate governance is the key management persons. Section 34A of Insurance Act 1938 requires prior approval of the authority for appointment, reappointment, or termination of the chief executive officer and the whole-time directors. The chief executive officer or the whole-time directors or the managing director of the company and other key functionaries are responsible for the operations and day-to-day management of the company in line with the directors of the board and the committees that are set up by the board. Now let us look at the role of appointed actuaries. IRDAI has brought out detailed regulations on appointed actuary, while IRDA appointed actuary regulations 2000. detailing the procedure for his appointment, qualifications, powers, along with the duties and obligations. The regulations also stipulate that prior approval of the authority shall be taken for appointment of the appointed actuary. External audit also forms an important aspect of corporate governance, and there has to be a process for appointment of statutory auditors. The IRDAI preparation of financial statements and auditors' report of insurance companies regulations 2002 empowers the authority to issue directions, guidelines on appointment, continuation or removal of directors, of an insurer. So this IRDA preparation of financial statements and auditors report of financial companies 2002, we have already seen. It talks about empowering. So IRDA preparation of financial statements and auditors report of insurance companies regulations 2002 empowers the authority means IRDA, to issue directions, guidelines on appointment, continuation or removal of auditors of an insurer. The board should therefore ensure that the statutory auditors are compliant with the regulatory requirements and there are no conflict of interest in their appointment. The audit committee should have discussions with the statutory auditors periodically. And the statutory auditor should also have access to the board of directors through the audit committee. Next important provision is on the disclosure requirement. The IRDAI preparation of financial statements and auditor's report of insurance companies regulations 2002 have prescribed certain disclosures in the financial statements. Students should also note amendments by the Insurance Regulatory and Development Authority of India preparation of financial statements and auditor's report of insurance companies First Amendment regulations 2021 and subsequent notifications and circulars issued by IRDAI. An important provision on outsourcing arrangements. All outsourcing arrangements of an insurer shall have the approval of committee of key management persons and should meet the terms of the board approved outsourcing policy. Interaction with the regulator in assessing the governance practices in place. IRDA would seek information that insurance company has adopted and effectively implemented sound corporate governance policies and practices. Assess the fitness and propriety of the board members. Monitor the performance of boards. Assess the quality of insurance company's internal reporting, risk management, audit and control functions. In assessing the government practices in place, IRDA would evaluate the effects of insurance company's group structure on the governance strategies, assess the adequacy of governance processes in the area of crisis management and business continuity. IRDAI would bring to the attention of the board and the senior management concerns which have been detected by it through such supervisory activities. An important provision in the form of whistleblower policy. Insurers are advised to put in place a whistleblower policy whereby mechanisms exist for employees to raise concerns internally about possible irregularities, governance weaknesses, financial reporting issues, or other such matters. This could include employee reporting in confidence directly to the chairman of the board or of a committee of the board or to the statutory auditors. Evaluation of the board of directors, including the independent directors. As required under Schedule 4 of the Companies Act 2013, the independent director shall meet at least once in a year to evaluate the performance of other independent directors. Similarly, there shall be an evaluation of the independent directors by the other members of the board of directors as required in the schedule. So not only the independent directors meet themselves, but the board also evaluates the functioning of the independent directors. So friends, with this we have completed all the chapters of this subject, and I'm sure you will be having a detailed information on management of insurance companies and products. Thank you.